You're with us for The Morning Show. I'm Kate Archer-Kent. Please note that we are in our spring member drive. WPR makes a difference in your day. It keeps you connected with news and culture from nearby and far away. And members make up the biggest share of WPR's funding. You are our lifeblood. Make a gift today for the programs you count on for yourself and for the entire community. Give at, here's the number, 888-202-2552 or WPR.org. And thank you so much. Right now, we're talking about the challenges of giving birth in the time of COVID-19. Hospitals are trying to treat very sick patients, stem the spread of the virus, keep medical staff healthy. And expectant parents, they're wondering where this leaves them as they look at options for birthing and they may hear conflicting answers. So what rumors have you heard about the coronavirus affecting pregnant women or newborns? Is your family expecting a baby this year? What are you discussing? We're at 800-642-1234 throughout the hour. Dr. Igor Iruretagoina is an obstetrician gynecologist and a maternal fetal medicine specialist at UW Health. He works out of Unity Point Health Meritor Hospital in Madison, where his patients call him Dr. Igor. Dr. Igor, welcome to the Ideas Network.
Thank you for the invitation. Happy to be here.
We also have Makeba Williams, Dr. Makeba Williams, Medical Director of Obstetrics and Gynecology for UW Health. She also does inpatient at Unity Point Health Meritor Hospital. Dr. Williams, welcome to the Ideas Network.
Good morning. Thanks for having me.
Well, let's start with you. Hospitals and clinics, they're all trying to reduce the number of people who come into the hospital, conducting appointments through video calls and so forth. Is this an option for pregnant women?
Yes, it is. Our number one priority is to keep our patients safe, to keep our workforce safe as well. So we have made a number of efforts to prevent the spread of coronavirus to our patients. Many of those efforts are reinforcing to the social distancing guidelines that have been recommended by the CDC and others. So we have been able to safely modify our prenatal care visit schedule. We've been able to implement telehealth and telemedicine procedures so that we can reduce the number of pregnant patients and our GYN patients coming into our clinics during this time.
But it seems that, you know, there is lab work involved in almost every clinic visit, whether it's a blood pressure check or whether it's evaluating the amount of protein in that pregnant woman's urine. I mean, how do you get through those things?
So we, with a lot of consultation, and we've been very thoughtful in how we can appropriately space out those visits. Our safety is our number one priority, so we don't want to sacrifice the safety and the well-being of not only our mom, but our babies that are also our patients as well. So where possible, we are seeing patients inpatient, face-to-face. We are also trying to consolidate that lab work, any ultrasound procedures, at the same time that we are seeing patients in our clinics. And then we are doing intervening telehealth visits at the appropriate intervals. We're doing all that we can to minimize the spread of coronavirus. And we know that the more times that patients are coming into our clinics, the more they would be at risk. So we've very carefully and thoughtfully spaced out those visits, and we are doing that patient-to-provider contact with high intention and fidelity via telemedicine at this time.
Dr. Igor, you work with patients who are at high risk, meaning their pregnancies could potentially threaten the lives of the mother or the baby due to factors like diabetes or hypertension, obesity. Can your patients have their visits be virtual at all?
Yes, they can. So we have done the same effort, and our patients are a little bit different because they need a little bit more often visits and a little bit more monitoring depending on what their condition or their fetus condition would be. But as much as we can, we are trying this. And I think it's important to know that both Dr. Williams and the rest of the UW Health obstetricians, family medicine, midwives, and all OB providers we've come together and we've sort of centralized patients. So if I'm seeing one of Dr. Williams' patients for ultrasound, my office will do a blood pressure check, and my office will do those essential things that would need to happen at Dr. Williams' office to avoid for that patient to have to go to two places. Going back to a high-risk pregnancy, we do less telehealth potentially than a low risk, but there's still a lot of things that we can do through telehealth, and patients are asking for this. Patients really want to avoid coming into the hospital if it's because of a blood pressure check, for example. So a lot of patients, more so than before, are having blood pressure checks at home and are having those type of interventions, if possible, at home, and we're doing a lot of monitoring through either video or phone.
Yeah, so I'm hearing, you know, trying not to double up on services between a regular OB check and a perinatal specialist visit. And also, when there is a contact, when there is a visit, to make sure that as many services and checks can be performed at that time. Talking with Dr. Makeba Williams, who is Medical Director of Obstetrics and Gynecology for UW Health. Dr. Igor is here as well, an obstetrician gynecologist and maternal fetal medicine specialist at UW Health. We're looking at pregnancy in the time of a pandemic. Is your family expecting a baby this year? What questions do you have about the coronavirus? What kind of conversations have you had with your medical provider, and what are your visits like? Join in at 800-642-1234. You can email ideas at WPR.org. Dr. Williams, the coronavirus is killing African Americans at a disproportionate rate straight across the U.S. Is that something you take into consideration as you care for people of color, women of color?
That's a really great question, and we are certainly following the data of how the coronavirus is impacting different groups. Certainly, we know that there are populations in pregnancy that face higher risk, and there are many populations, African Americans, some of our Hispanic patients also face additional risk associated with diabetes of pregnancies, hypertensive disorders of pregnancies. So we are following very closely the impact that this virus may have on those patients who have underlying medical risk, who would be at greater risk for suffering some of the consequences that we have seen in patients who have the coronavirus. So we are very careful and attuned to all of our patients and all of their underlying health risk, be they related to their race, their ethnicity, or other medical conditions which they face.
We're talking about protecting expectant mothers and newborns amid the coronavirus outbreak. We're talking with Dr. Igor Iruretagoyena, who's an OBGYN perinatal specialist in Madison, and OBGYN Makeba Williams, as you heard there, who is Medical Director of Obstetrics and Gynecology for UW Health. So doctors and nurses, how is your hospital handling childbirth right now? How are you keeping mothers and their children safe? Are you a doula or a neonatal nurse? What is your story in the midst of this pandemic? Join in the conversation at 800-642-1234. Email ideas at WPR.org. We'll be back in just a minute for more conversation with the physicians here on the Ideas Network. If you're just joining us, we're talking about pregnancy and COVID-19 here on The Morning Show. I'm Kate Archer-Kent. There are roughly 300,000 births every month in our country based on recent years of CDC data. And lessons from the first hardest hit states show us how difficult it will be to strike the right balance between the needs of expectant parents and the needs of a healthcare system in the throes of this unprecedented fight. Last month, New York State said partners would be allowed in the delivery room after some hospitals had tried to ban them. Does the coronavirus have you reconsidering your birth plan? How have you changed it? Are you a neonatal or labor and delivery nurse? How have you seen the pandemic affect mothers? We're at 800-642-1234. We have two OBGYNs with us for the hour. Dr. Igor Iwuredegoyena, his patients call him Dr. Igor, and Dr. Makeba Williams, both from UW Health. Dr. Igor, let's look at PPE, personal protective equipment. As you do your in-person visits with your patients, do you have enough protective equipment?
I must say that we've been very lucky in light of, you know, the shortage that happens, you know, nationwide and around us as well, to have with a thoughtful policy of, you know, use and maintenance of those, to be able to have enough surgical masks and a face shield, which is what we wear in typical encounters with patients. So all health care workers at the hospital at this point are wearing a surgical mask and a face shield, not including when, you know, we're in the OR or when we are in a labor room that would include, you know, other equipment. But we have been certainly fortunate enough to be able to have that, as I said, just being very mindful that there's a shortage and as much as we can to continue to keep using or reusing the same one until it's not appropriate anymore.
Dr. Williams, in clinic visits, in clinic rounds, how are you suiting up?
We, too, in our ambulatory clinics are using a face shield. We are using surgical mask as well. We want to do all that we can to prevent that spread. We are doing our best to socially distance in those visits, to be as caring and comforting as we can, but to be efficient with those visits. So, yes, we are using our mask. We are using our shields, which is different than how we have typically conducted those visits in the past, but certainly is necessary in this time of pandemic.
How are your patients, how are the mothers reacting to you when you walk in the room and you're completely suited up in protective equipment?
You know, this has been a really interesting time to provide obstetric care. It is, our pregnancy visits are usually a time of excitement and expectation and anticipation, and our pregnant patients are quite naturally anxious. Some are afraid. I think there are many who are reassured by all of our practices to provide them safety, to make sure that we are doing all that we can to keep them healthy, to keep their growing fetuses healthy. So while it is unnerving on some levels, our patients are certainly appreciative of the efforts and the steps that we are taking.
We're talking with Dr. Williams and Dr. Igor. They're both OBGYNs from UW Health. We're looking at pregnancy during the coronavirus. Have you tested positive for COVID-19? What did you think people should know about it? Does the coronavirus have you changing your birth plan at all? What is that like? Join in at 800-642-1234. You can email ideas at WPR.org. Dr. Igor, the Centers for Disease Control and Prevention, the CDC, defines pregnant women as an at-risk population because they have suppressed immune systems. Why is that the case, and what do you see there in terms of their immune systems?
Pregnancy in general, if we want to call it, it does behave at somehow as a immunosuppressed state for many different reasons, and especially for things like virus. And the best example that we have is the flu. We know that pregnant women fare much worse when they get infected with flu through flu season, and thus all our efforts to vaccinate and to try to do, you know, in the old times, social distance, and try to stress out the importance of decrease the exposure of it. It has to do, it's a complex physiological state, but I think we can summarize it into the pregnancy on a woman's body has to host a fetus that may have similarities with a mom, but may also have similarities with a dad, and that is, in a way, different from the mother's body, and our bodies will be sort of made to recognize that as not within, you know, ourselves, and so pregnancy, it's such a wonderful state where nature have worked out a system where that it's allowed and it's okay and it's not recognized by the mother's body as a strange. And so that plays sort of a factor when, you know, infections happen. And so we are aware of this, and pregnant women in general are always at higher risk for infectious agents like viruses. And so thus our advocacy and our efforts to especially try to quarantine women, to try to separate them from anybody that may be exposed, to try to screen in the hospital, and important things like, you know, just allowing one visitor, which is a very, very difficult decision because, let's face it, we are in the business of obstetrics and we want families. We want parents. We want anybody that woman may feel she needs at this very special time. So nobody would take lightly to decrease the amount of visitors. And if we do this, we do this because we really want to provide the safest environment for these women, along with all other things like you were mentioning before, using a face shield and a mask, which it's less pleasant, if you may, through a visit, but necessary.
But necessary right now, yeah. Dr. Williams, what is your hospital saying about who is allowed in labor and delivery?
As Dr. Igor said, we've had to make some difficult decisions to limit the number of support people to one during the labor and delivery process. We certainly value having support people, and we know that you know, pregnant women need that support during labor. But in an effort to minimize the risk to our patient, that patient who is laboring, other patients who are in the hospital, as well as to just decrease overall transmission of the coronavirus and COVID within our healthcare system, within our hospitals, we must restrict that visitor access to one person during labor and delivery. And during our clinic visits, unfortunately, we have had to restrict our policy to no visitors in the interest of social distancing and decreasing spread.
Yeah, so the woman is coming in alone for clinic visits and may have one person there at childbirth. Do you anticipate when you might ease those restrictions, or is it way too soon to tell?
It's just too soon for us to know. We are preparing for a surge if and when that happens. And so right now our best guidance is to continue the social distancing measures to reduce traffic, if you will, within our hospitals and within our clinics.
Do we know at all about how COVID-19 affects pregnant women and their fetuses? Are there any studies out there that give us some insights?
So what we know from limited data, and I think the biggest data that we had before was from the other SARS viruses, but what we know from China, from New York, and Europe, and places where they've had a lot of cases is that it does not appear to be what we call vertically transmitted. So when they've tested maternal blood, when they've tested the placenta, when they've tested the baby, obviously breast milk on infected mothers, they cannot find it in the baby. There have been some cases that potentially question that, but it is so hard because since it's a droplet transmitted virus, you can understand the proximity that happens in between a newborn and a mother. So the high likelihood of getting infected very soon after birth or even through the birthing process.
We got to pause right there with Dr. Igor and Dr. Makeba Williams. We'll be back in just a moment after a news update on the Ideas Network. You're with us for the morning show. I'm Kate Archer-Kent, and I just want to say that WPR is a part of your day. It's your go-to for essential news and analysis, companionship, talk discussion like we're having now straight across Wisconsin. And listeners like you are the biggest source of funding for WPR. We are in our spring member drive right now, and your gift supports the morning show. It supports all the other WPR programs you rely on today and every day. So join in with your gift right now. Here's the phone number, 888-202-2552. That's 888-202-2552 or WPR.org. And thank you so much for your support. Right now, we're talking about pregnancy amid the pandemic. Hospitals are taking precautions to help women give birth. And despite the many challenges in this crisis, physicians and midwives and doulas and others who work with women giving birth are doing their best to make sure that families are supported. Are you expecting? Have you talked about COVID-19 with your OB? What is your plan for delivery? Has it changed recently? Join in at 800-642-1234. We have Dr. Igor Iruretagoina, or Dr. Igor, as he goes by. He's an obstetrician gynecologist and a maternal fetal medicine specialist at UW Health. And Dr. Makeba Williams is here, medical director of obstetrics and gynecology for UW Health. They stay with us. Dr. Igor, as we are going there to the news break, you were mentioning that that COVID-19, the coronavirus, cannot be passed through breast milk. What are you seeing there?
So as best we have evidence, as I said, it doesn't show that the virus is able to get into maternal bloodstream enough to get through the fetus or breast milk. And this poses, it's a great evidence, but also poses the biggest challenge, which is how do we protect this newborn from getting infected? And unfortunately, what has been shown, just like for everything else that we've done, to try to prevent the infection is to bring up the conversation about potential separating the mom and the baby if the mother is infected as a way to prevent the newborn from getting infected. The newborn can still be able to be given breast milk, which is also a great thing because we are 100% supporters of breastfeeding, and this is great news in the midst of, you know, the potential sadness of having to separate mother and babies.
Dr. Williams, what is that like as you look to figure out how to, how to assist patients and mothers who have tested positive for COVID-19 and what childbirth might look like?
As we are caring for patients in this pandemic. We are initiating conversations very early on in those prenatal care visits, those that are happening face-to-face, those that are happening remotely through telehealth, to acknowledge that many of our patients have birth plans, they have ideas for how this pregnancy was going to take shape, how they would deliver, what that recovery and those initial moments might be like. So we first want to acknowledge that things are different, address any anxieties that patients have about what we know and what we don't know, and then we're doing our best to support in any ways that our patients need through this. And that may look like doing some increased telemedicine visits, providing not only that medical support that they need, but also, when possible, providing them with psychological and mental health support. And then looking for ways in which we can support the needs. And so if breastfeeding is what our patients want to do, we are having our lactation consultants in the hospital visit with those patients, get them as prepared as possible to continue their plan for breastfeeding, and then doing that follow-up on the when the patient leaves the hospital to make sure that she is adequately supported. And I don't know that we've ever done remote support for breastfeeding in the past, but we are learning very quickly and putting processes in place to support our patients in all the ways that they need. Even though we haven't done those things in the past, we're trying to figure out how we can to give the care that our patients are accustomed to in the best way possible, given the pandemic and the limitations that we have in bringing patients back and forth into our clinic spaces and into the hospital.
When you look at the labor and delivery floor in your hospital, Dr. Williams, has it changed at all? Is it squeezed in its size because of the needs in other areas of the hospital, such as intensive care?
The thing about obstetric care is it does not stop. Those needs do not stop, even in a pandemic. And so we've been able to maintain our space. And as Dr. Igor mentioned, you know, our patients who are pregnant have higher risk. They have unique needs, as do their our neonates and our infants. So we've been able to preserve that space. We have been preparing for the potential of COVID positive patients and creating systems, creating spaces so that we can provide safe isolation of COVID positive pregnant patients who may be laboring and our non-COVID positive patients. So, so far we've not, you know, our space has not been taken by non-obstetrical services.
We're talking with Dr. Makeba Williams, an obstetrician gynecologist, and Dr. Igor, who is a high-risk pregnancy specialist. We're looking at labor and delivery in the middle of a pandemic. With your questions along the way, what do you want to know about how pregnancy is being impacted by the pandemic? What has changed as part of your pregnancy and how you will go through childbirth? What is your hospital telling you and your OB? Join in at 800-642-1234. You can email ideas at WPR.org. Dr. Igor, let's talk about C-sections and how C-sections are performed during a pandemic. They are often scheduled. And so what is that like for women right now?
So as Dr. Williams stated, our operations, though, have sort of decreased to essentials as best we can, mostly outpatient. Inpatient, it's very difficult, almost not possible to decrease it, because if you need a C-section at 39 weeks, you need a C-section at 39 weeks. So what we have done is, for a woman that it's scheduled today as opposed to a woman that was, you know, coming for a C-section, you know, a year ago, there are aside from the visitor policy, there's more screenings at the entrance to the hospital. There's more screening with a nurse. There's the nurse and all personnel who's sort of masked, but the surgery, the team, and the resources are all in there. And we are, I would say, even more mindful of safety these days. We're more mindful of making sure that we follow our safety protocols, that we communicate with our counterparts in neonatology or pediatrics. And we really are also mindful of the extra stress that this adds to mothers and families, and we want to make sure that they understand. And the thing that we can provide is reassurance. And I can tell you that I am glad to see that even though this is a challenging time, the medical team, the nursing team, and everybody in the hospital is excited and continue to be very committed to be part of this experience for every mom. And so even though you may not see our face as we saw it before, we are following pretty much the same protocols, and we are trying to provide the best all integrated care for these families.
Dr. Williams, do you have anything to add there about C-sections right now as you work through the pandemic with your patients?
I would agree with what Dr. Igor has said. We are still moving forward. Babies come when they come. Sometimes they're scheduled, and most times they are not. And so our processes are robust, and they are in place, and we do have a very committed team. We are doing the screening, so we will be calling patients in advance to assess if they have any respiratory symptoms, if they've had any fevers, if they've had any sick contacts, so that we can do all that we can to additionally prepare for those patients, knowing that they still need care. So we are closely following and evaluating if there are any increased needs. So again, to the extent possible, we have we've really ramped up our screening of any patient who is coming into the hospital on a scheduled basis.
Oh, so even hours before they are to report in to the hospital, they're being called to say, hey, do you have any symptoms right now?
Yes, we are calling patients even more than hours. We are calling a day to 2 days in advance to screen our patients. We're also doing that in our outpatient settings as well. So for patients who are coming in for prenatal care visits, for scheduled procedures, such as ultrasounds, for deliveries, whether they be inductions or scheduled C-sections, we are making that advance contact so that we can put additional safety measures in place to get women the care they need and to defer if it is absolutely necessary.
Talking about pregnant mothers and the anxiety of the maternity ward around COVID-19, we have obstetrician gynecologist Makeba Williams with us. We have Dr. Igor here as well, who does high-risk pregnancies. And you, 800-642-1234. Back in a minute on the Ideas Network. It's the morning show. I'm Kate Archer Kent. Several small studies have been published about the coronavirus in pregnancy. Babies have been found to be infected in a small minority of cases, but have generally fared well. But pregnant women, they are thought to be at the same risk for severe illness from COVID-19 as any other people. So what questions do you have about the coronavirus and pregnancy? Still time to talk at 800-642-1234. We have obstetrician gynecologist Makeba Williams and high-risk pregnancy specialist Dr. Igor Iwer-Redagoina, who goes by Dr. Igor with his patients. They both come from UW Health. They're spending the hour with us. Dr. Williams, I want to touch here on abortion care. Several states have included abortion care among the non-essential procedures to be deferred as COVID-19 patients take precedence. Does that also affect contraceptive services and the health of the mother?
We do appreciate there is still a need for contraception, and so for patients who are interested in contraception, we are still trying to address those needs and concerns.
Dr. Igor, for mothers experiencing anxiety for the first time, or for those experiencing a heightened version of existing anxiety, what advice would you give them to help manage that?
So there are anxiety, it's a multifaceted, and I think it has to be approached from multiple angles. So we want to make sure that the most important thing is that accurate information is out there. And thus, why we appreciate so much being in the show, I think mothers need to know that the biggest risk for infection is really through respiratory droplets, right? So as far as or as much as they stay quarantined, they stay safe at home, and we are doing our job at the hospital, the chances of getting infected are much less. And I think Dr. Fauci from the CDC had explained this quite well in terms of reassuring the public that the most important thing is really social distancing and staying home. And for us, being at home, especially close to the weeks of delivery, is essential because we really want to make sure that by the time women come for a delivery, their risk of exposure has been low. We want to tell them that we are ready at the hospital, that we've been working so hard and for so long to try to make the hospital a safe environment. We want to tell them that we have services aside from OBs, that if they were sick, we can attend to them. We can tell them that our clinics, even though are doing essential visits, are always open for phone calls and are always open for visits in person if need be. So even though things appear to be narrowing around healthcare services, we are here, and we're here 24/7. And as I said before, everybody in the hospital and the health system, from leadership down to everybody, it's really invested in giving our patients the best care we can, and even more so in this time. So we are happy to talk. We are happy to answer questions. We are happy to also clarify things that are not true. And most importantly, to let those patients and every patient, because I think everybody suffers from anxiety these days, that we are here and we are ready. We are prepared as we can be. We, as every time with every patient, we are ready to go with them in this journey.
Dr. Williams, are you seeing cases of situational depression or an increased number of cases of anxiety as women go through their pregnancies at this time?
We certainly have seen an uptick in our visits with our patients. We are getting more and more phone calls from our patients about anxiety. As many as about 15% of pregnant patients will experience some episode of depression, COVID, and pandemic notwithstanding. So we are very sensitive to the current situation and how that might impact those patients who suffer from perinatal depression. And to that end, we are collaborating with mental health providers, our psychiatry department, our health psychologist at UW Health. We've all banded together to support our pregnant patients who are facing mental health concerns and issues during this time. And we are readily available, though we may not be able to physically make contact with our patients on a schedule with which they have grown accustomed to in the past. We have a whole team of providers who are working remotely, some who are working in our clinics to provide that additional support to our patients.
We're talking with UW Health OBGYNs Dr. Williams and Dr. Igor about pregnancy and the risks of COVID-19. Dr. Igor, what can friends and family of people who are expecting a child right now, what can they do to offer their support during this time?
I think the most important thing in this time is social distancing. And it's really staying home and try to decrease as much possible the exposure. That would allow for a safest experience, and that would also help hopefully move out of this challenging time as we would have if we are really strict with our social distancing, decrease the rate of, you know, transmission and new cases. They can also be very aware of the challenges that they face and bring it up to us. As I said, one of the biggest things that we've encountered, especially in my own practice with high-risk women, is misinformation. And we face this with, you know, everything that we do in general, but sometimes it's just a one-minute phone call to say, no, that it's not true. You are safe and you can stay home, or, you know, we have this or that resource, and that really makes complete difference. So we want that it's easy. We want to do it. We want to be able to, you know, give accurate information, and we want to continue to do that, because I would say 90% of the extra stress that this time has brought is assumptions and potential misinformation, like I'm not going to be able to have my procedure, or I'm going to be separated from my baby. And sometimes it's just saying, no, if you are not infected, we would not recommend that you get separated. And we would send you home as soon as we can. And all of those things are very reassuring. And so that's one of the things that friends and families can do, help support pregnant women in staying in quarantine, and help support sort of the community in general in that way.
Dr. Williams, in the moments we have left here, is there any rumor or myth that you would like to dispel that you've been talking with patients about?
I would just like to emphasize that you will get good care, that the hospital is a very safe place for you to have your baby, and that there are teams of healthcare providers, nurses, physicians, midwives, doulas, whole teams in place ready to give you expert, excellent care. I know that there are many who are afraid to broach our hospitals at this moment, many who are considering home birth as a safer option for them, or to allow for healthcare resources to be given to those who may be of a greater need. And I would like to just let the community know that we are ready, we are capable, and we will take care of you in the safest manner. So no fear about coming in to have your baby. You will get good care.
Thank you both for joining us. Dr. Makeba Williams, Medical Director of Obstetrics and Gynecology for UW Health. Dr. Igor Iwer-Redagoyana, an obstetrician gynecologist and a maternal fetal medicine specialist at UW Health. Coming up, we recap the results of Wisconsin's April 7th elections with a state politics reporter. This is The Morning Show. I'm Kate Archer-Kent, and you're listening to the Ideas Network.